Well, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, just talked to their crowd at the Javits Center in New York and told everybody, go home. We're going to wait this out. So no concession tonight, apparently. That's interesting. And we're still waiting for some final states to come in that could come any moment. We're going to come back with Dr. Jerome Corsi and get his take on the election. He is the author of the book Partners in Crime. This is a story that will not go away, and I want to get Jerry's reaction to that as well, especially if there's a Donald Trump presidency. What will he do with the Clinton Foundation? Dr. Corsi is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Dr. Jerome Corsi received his PhD from Harvard University in political science back in 1972. He has written a number of books and articles, has appeared on Coast to Coast. I cannot count the amount of times. His latest work is called Partners in Crime, The Clinton Scheme to Monetize the White House for Personal Profit. He's with us for the next 2 hours. We will take calls next hour with Dr. Corsi. Jerry, first of all, your reaction to what's unfolding tonight.
Well, it's largely a surprise, I think, for the nation that Trump appears like he's going to win. It's clearly not decided 100% yet, although several analysts are calling Pennsylvania for Trump, and that would put him above the 270 threshold.
That's right.
Total of 274.
And even if he gets Michigan, he'll get it.
Yes, either state. And he's ahead in both, and the count is proceeding pretty quickly. Now, John Podesta, who's the chairman of Hillary Clinton's campaign, just made a statement at their campaign headquarters and said there'll be no announcement until the morning because every vote counts and they have to count every vote, and of course that's correct. But I think from all the analyses I'm looking at on the internet for the vote totaling, it certainly seems like Pennsylvania is going to go for Trump. And Michigan is not quite as far along in the count, but I'd say Michigan also is going to go for Trump.
Is it conceivable that tonight we will not have what traditionally we have, and that is the loser comes out and concedes, and then the winner comes out and accepts and speaks? Is it possible that with the Hillary Clinton campaign saying, hey, we're going home, that Trump might come out within the next 30 minutes or an hour, assuming we get some results from one of these two states you just mentioned, Jerry, and talks about victory even before she's conceded?
George, that's possible. I think Podesta just said, and remember, he's the chairman of Hillary's campaign, John Podesta, and he said there will be no announcement from the Clinton camp tonight.
Right.
So there's not, you know, even if it's clear that Hillary Clinton loses both Michigan and Pennsylvania, the campaign is, you know, closed shop for the night, and they're not going to make any announcement until the morning.
Well, it sounds like maybe she decided to go to sleep.
Well, and also, I think, Georgia, look, depending on how close the votes are, in other words, if, let's say, Pennsylvania goes to Trump, but it narrows to a few thousand votes, or the same happens in Michigan.
Well, right now he's up by 76,000 votes in Pennsylvania with 3% left.
I don't think
she's going to make that up.
No, most analysts that I'm looking at that are reputable analysts don't think that there's really any chance left for Hillary. It's pretty much globally being called a Trump win. And I think you see also in the stock market, which is now down, you know, something like 900 points. By the way, the Wall Street Journal has said Trump wins Pennsylvania. So the Wall Street Journal, for instance.
And the New York Times says he's going to win.
Yeah.
The New York, and you last week said he would win. I mean, you knew it. You felt it.
See, I worked very closely with the Trump campaign at a distance. I mean, I worked, you know, side by side, in the sense, not part of the campaign, not really coordinating with the campaign, but I knew the campaign's internal numbers were very good in Pennsylvania and other states. I was being told that, you know, as far back as a month ago. And I also knew that Hillary Clinton's numbers were not nearly as good internally as the public polls were saying. The polls this year, we're oversampling for Democrats. And I think what we had, when this election gets analyzed, you're going to find that there were fewer Democrats who came out to vote than, for instance, as a proportion, than did for Barack Obama in 2008 and 2012.
Yeah.
Clearly, Barack Obama was an exciting candidate. He captured the imagination, especially in 2008.
And a great speaker. Great speaker.
You remember those 100,000 people attending rallies that Barack Obama gave in 2008.
Well, and also, Jerry, coming out of the George Bush administration, where people were just fed up with the lies in Iraq and everything else, they wanted change, and there was Barack Obama.
And Barack Obama, in 2008, was a fresh face in politics. He had come off of the 2004 speech that he gave at the convention, where, you know, Democratic convention in Massachusetts, where John Kerry was nominated, where Barack Obama gave that, you know, probably the best speech of his life, when he said, "We are, you know, not a nation of red states or blue states. We're a nation of the United States of America." And that speech resonated in 2008 when Barack Obama presented himself as the candidate of hope and change. Now, Hillary Clinton did not draw the same enthusiasm from Democratic voters in, you know, 2016 that Barack Obama had in 2012, but yet the polls, which have to pick some measure as to what percentage of each party are going to vote, were geared to look at the numbers as they occurred in 2012, which means they oversampled for Democrats, given the fact that Democrats were not that enthusiastic. And I think we're going to find the turnout among Democrats, especially I think among African-American voters, was down this year. And a larger proportion of African-American voters, I think, then went for Romney, went for Trump. And these kinds of margins of difference, I think, swung the election for Trump.
Watch the hackers work overnight and everything changes.
Well, I think, I'm sure, George, there's going to be some of that going on. But, you know, these numbers are pretty well fixed. And I think the numbers we're looking at in terms of all the states that have been called, recounts are not going to change. And even if there's voting fraud, voting fraud is usually, I'd say, maybe 3-4% of the vote can be tipped by voter fraud. And I think we should really, as a nation, tighten up so voter fraud cannot occur.
All right. Now, this is going to be a tough time, though, Jerry, because, you know, 50% of the nation, it is that close, practically, will not like Donald Trump because they've been Hillary supporters. And unlike most campaigns where, you know, people will pick their candidate without there being much hatred toward the other side, this one is all hate. So what's it going to take to get these other 50% to calm down? Because I'm concerned something could get out of hand.
Well, the potential for a presidency that is troubled by no real consensus or no real, you know, voter unison behind them. If you take a look at this election, it's going to look like the West Coast, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, clearly in Nevada.
And then the East.
And the East Coast with New York, New Jersey, Vermont. I think New Hampshire may or may not go to Trump. I'm not sure. You know, but, you know,
well, New Hampshire at this point is leaning toward Hillary, 89% in. She's up by 3,000 votes.
Yeah, and so you've got New England, New York, New Jersey, California, and these are, you know, these are really the two coasts with major cities in California, New York, and New Jersey, whereas the majority of the states internal of the United States are red, you know, voting very strongly Republican. So you've got the majority of the states that don't have huge cities. I mean, except you do, I mean, Illinois, for instance, with Chicago, is also going to Hillary Clinton. But, you know, Michigan, the vote was really depressed in Detroit. But the other major cities, New York, New Jersey, you know, Maryland with Baltimore, Chicago, the cities and the two coasts are, the northeastern coast and the west coast are where the Democratic strongholds are. And, you know, essentially you've got kind of like a divided country where the East Coast and the West Coast are more of the globalist elite mentality, whereas the center of the country is largely still very, you know, what Richard Nixon called the silent majority.
Right.
And the, you know, more of a conservative base to the country, not nearly as enamored with globalism, not nearly as wanting to open borders, some fundamental disagreements on policy. But, you know, I think you're going to have major cities versus the rest of the country, and the two coasts, Northeast and the West Coast, of course, the East Coast from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, are all solidly Republican. And the if you take a look at the voting in, within the country, you know, states like Nebraska and Kansas, Oklahoma, went very strongly for Trump.
Oh, yeah. He carved out the entire Midwest, practically.
Right. And not by close elections, by elections that were really very much, you know, landslides, very much in favor of Trump solidly, where the Democrats had no chance. And the other story is developing is what they call the firewall, you know, the states that were always considered last four or five elections Democratic. For instance, you know, Michigan is going to be one if it goes for Trump, and Wisconsin, but, you know, even states that like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida, which Pennsylvania is going to be really in another one important if it goes for Trump.
Right. Well, now, you know, in Michigan, he's up by 59,000 votes with 11% to go.
Yeah.
Now, most of the 11% that is still out there is in Wayne County, and they generally will vote Democratic, but I'm not sure there's enough votes to make up the difference.
I'm not sure either. You've also got Michigan up on, you know, the peninsula. You've got Michigan voters who are rural that will yet have to vote. It's not just Wayne County. And from everything I've seen, the voting in Detroit is way down. And Detroit would be what would swing Michigan if it had the turnout for the Democrats like they had in 2012.
Do you think Hillary is shocked that she didn't win?
Yes, I think I'm sure the Democrats in general, I think, are shocked that this was, and so are the media. I mean, almost all the, you know, what we call the mainstream media was so solidly convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to win. I mean, look, George, the polls, even Fox News, watching them today, which is typically, you know, oriented in favor of the Republicans, all the commentators were shocked. They were all expecting that Hillary Clinton was going to walk away with the election. And as the results came in tonight, you could watch the commentators go through, you know, really a adjustment that all their thinking, the polls had been wrong. It reminds me very much of 1980, when the polls also predicted that Jimmy Carter was going to win. And then in the last few days, after the last debate in 1980, the country began to swing to Reagan so that it was a landslide. Now,
right. This
is not a landslide. This is going to be a...
This is close.
A close election. And it's a divided country, much more so than it was in 1980.
I actually thought it could go to the Congress for a vote.
It was, you know, Georgia could have. I mean, it could have been no one gets 270 electoral votes. I mean, and it's also not clear yet. I mean, Hillary might yet win the popular vote.
Well, maybe. She could if the rest of California comes in. She's already gotten the electoral votes in California.
Right.
But with California, they've got only 40% in, so she could win the popular vote.
She could win the popular vote, and it would not surprise me if she won the popular vote, which will, again, you know, put a lot of pressure on changing the electoral system in the United States.
Right.
I doubt it's going to happen.
And it does make it a little more difficult for Donald, who is an elected president when more than 50% of the people voted for the other person.
Well, and it's going to affect, you know, the Trump administration is going to have to take that into consideration, because you can't rule a divided country with an agenda as strongly articulated as Donald Trump argued, you know, for his closing borders and for various positions that he took. I mean, I think the idea that there would be mass deportations are simply out of the question. That's not going to happen. I think there may be an attempt to close the border more securely. Whether we actually build a wall, I mean, Donald Trump's got a lot invested in that we do build a wall, but what kind of wall we build, et cetera. I mean, there's a lot of the country, clearly the country bordering Mexico. I mean, California and New Mexico both went for Hillary. Arizona, I think, will go for Trump, and Texas went for Trump. But you don't have unity even on the border state saying, you know, build a wall, massive wall, keep everyone out. So, you know, the country is going to have some policies that will have to be moderated from the way Trump campaigned, although it will swing in the direction that Trump campaigned. He will stick to his vision for America. And I believe, you know, this is a deciding election in terms of, do we go in the direction of more globalism, more open borders? And I think the answer is no. We're not going to go in that direction. At least it's going to slow down.
It's going to be an interesting time. I'm watching these Pennsylvania results, and they've been sitting at 97% counted for about an hour and a half now. And something's going on there.
I'm not sure what that's about, Georgia. And I'm not sure, you know, I've tried to listen to the commentators, and I don't have, you know, their computer models in front of me to see what counties are out. But my guess is that it's going to take a couple more hours for Pennsylvania to be called. I mean, this reminds me of 1968, when you had Hubert Humphrey and Richard Nixon, and the election was not called until about 9:30 in the morning the next day.
And that is without the kind of technology we have today. Things
Correct.
Were slower. I mean, now you expect things to happen like instantly.
Yes, you do. And I think there's, you know, there's care and caution and counting. When the Florida recount in 2000 was traumatic for the entire nation. So when these states get close, like, and it's important, like Pennsylvania and Michigan, be determinative of the outcome, the states are going to take a while to make sure they've got the counts right. So they may have 97% counted, but whatever the last 3% is, they're going to carefully go through to make sure they're right. And, George, I think that's the way you'd want it. I mean, I think that's
appropriate. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely.
But the models, you know, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the other models I'm looking at around on the Internet that I trust and respect in terms of the metrics, that, you know, have the county-by-county data and really know the previous voting in the counties, which is the way you've got to be able to project an election. I have reason to believe that, you know, one or both of these states, Michigan and Pennsylvania, are going to go for Trump. And Pennsylvania seems to be the one that almost all the, you know, the analysts who are making a call, they're saying Pennsylvania goes to Trump.
And that'll do it.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
That'll put him at 274. I think Pennsylvania has 20 electoral votes.
Yeah. And he's going to get, see, they already gave him Arizona. Fox did.
Yes, I think that they did. Okay, well, that's another.
So that that includes 11. It. That includes it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then, you know, we're right at that, the 254. Then with,
includes Arizona.
Includes Arizona. Well, then 20 with Pennsylvania would put.
He goes over the top.
274.
And he's gonna get Wisconsin anyway. So he's up. So that's another 10.
Wisconsin, yes.
And yes. So he will end up at least with 30 more. Maybe 46 more, because Michigan's leading his way too.
Right, and that'll put the idea of a recount or a challenge out of the question.
That's right.
Because you'll have a close election, but a definitive election.
Jerry, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. I want to talk about your work, Partners in Crime, because with now a Donald Trump presidency, what's looming over the Clintons in terms of the possibility of going after them criminally for some of these things with a Donald Trump Justice Department. So we'll talk about that, and then we're going to keep you an extra hour, of course, to take phone calls. Special 5-hour live program tonight, so we got lots to talk about. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Jerome Corsi with us. We're waiting for Donald Trump to come out to speak to his supporters. When he does, we will pop him on for a little bit and we can hear what he has to say. Jerry, you wrote a book called Partners in Crime. You were on with me several months ago when it came out. Do you believe a Donald Trump presidency will unleash itself on Hillary Clinton, whom he's always called Crooked Hillary, over the foundation?
I think the foundation's going to now undergo IRS and probably Department of Justice investigation. I mean, imagine, for instance, that Donald Trump puts Rudy Giuliani in his head as Attorney General, and has a, you know, Giuliani certainly got the background as a prosecutor.
Right, he's done that. As a matter of fact, he was the one who went after Michael Milken for the junk bonds, right?
It's very good. Exactly right. That's a good memory. And yes, you're right, George. And as you get into the depths of, you know, the Clinton Foundation, and my book is about Partners in Crime. I mean, Charles Ortel, who's one of the most brilliant analysts in Wall Street, I consider him to be, came to me about 2 years ago and said, have you ever looked at the financials of the Clinton Foundation? Because they are a mess. They're fraudulent. And Charles was right. I mean, the audited financial statements, and there's going to be repercussions on the auditors, as well as their 990 forms, which is the IRS form a foundation has to file. And with the WikiLeaks revelations, including internal emails written by people like Doug Band, who heads Teneo and was also an official in the Clinton Foundation, it's absolutely clear the Clinton Foundation was not following the very strict rules required for a charity to get tax-exempt status. And if we're going to preserve the future charitable giving, the Clinton Foundation is going to have to be closed down. There's going to have to be, I would think, some criminal prosecutions coming out of the way the Clinton Foundation has been run. Now, I don't really expect that Hillary Clinton is going to be subjected to criminal prosecution. I would think that Barack Obama will issue her a pardon at this point and spare the country the trauma of putting Hillary Clinton under criminal investigation, which I don't really think serves any major purpose at this point.
No, no. Do you think she'd come back in 4 more years?
No, no. Hillary Clinton is now, her career is now finished in politics. And I think we're going to find out more about her health, which I don't think is particularly good at this point. I mean, I watched even after her last campaign rallies, on the day before election, and she was staggering into the car.
Yeah, and she's 69. That would make her 73, 74.
I think she has some, coming out of the concussion, all the doctors I've talked to her about and interviewed, see signs of some form or other of brain seizure syndrome. Some think she's pre-Parkinson's or into Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not examined her. I'm not qualified. I'm not a medical doctor. But all the medical doctors I've talked to at least say, you know, Hillary needs to undergo a thorough neurological examination by competent doctors who will give an independent view of, you know, what the health situation is. I think she'll get the medical care she needs now.
Jerry, Fox News is now reporting that Donald Trump has gone over the electoral limit of 270 and has become the president-elect of the United States.
And so is the Wall Street Journal has done the same. The Wall Street Journal puts Donald Trump.
So they gave him Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they gave him Pennsylvania. They say now he's the president-elect. And, in fact, the article is being posted in the Wall Street Journal at the moment. I haven't looked at the New York Times, but the website basically says, you know, a stunning loss for Clinton and the Democratic Party.
And apparently CNN is reporting that Hillary just called Donald to concede.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's the direction it was headed, and I think that was a noble act for her to take to get this over with.
I'm sure it was a short phone call.
Well, I mean,
there was Hillary, no love lost there, Jerry.
There's no love lost, and Hillary, you know, and Bill Clinton have had a long service to the United States. He, as president, he was president for 8 years. She was Secretary of State. These are honorable positions, and I don't think Donald Trump is going to be mean-spirited, and I don't think the country is going to be mean-spirited.
I think he will be pretty classy in his acceptance here.
I've known Donald Trump for 40 years, and I've never known him to be anything but classy. You know, he's both in winning and losing. And Donald Trump always, I remember his father told me when he bought the Commodore Hotel, which is now the Hyatt Hotel over the Grand Central, and it looked like it was going to be a deal that was going to fall apart. And Trump managed to get the railroad yards on the west side of Manhattan, which the city wanted for the Javits Center. And he won the deal. The deal went through. And his father, I saw his father at the plaza. I said, you know, your son is, I really thought he was going to lose it. He said, my son is lucky. He said, you know, God gave him an extra advantage. He always looks like he's going to lose. And quite frankly, Trump's father thought Trump was a little ambitious, couldn't imagine how he was thinking he could do as the son what Donald Trump always imagined he could do, because the father had lesser ambitions, although was very successful in his own right. But I never forgot that. He said, my son always looks like he's going to lose until he wins. And that's, I think, that was kind of the thought I had as this campaign. Because you're looking how many times people predicted Donald Trump was going to be out. He was not going to be the nominee. Remember, he had a narrow path to win the nomination. And then after he won the nomination, until really today, people say he had a narrow path to win 270 votes. Remember, he had to basically win all these states. Well, to answer your initial question, I think the Clinton Foundation, which has been a criminal scam, it has been inurement, which means taking the money out to benefit the Clintons. It has financials which are completely fraudulent. You know, analysts like Charles Ortel are not going to let it down. They're going to now be, you know, even more forceful in saying we cannot allow this to occur. There will be criminal prosecutions, I believe, in the Clinton Foundation, and I believe it will be shut down. But I don't think it will affect Bill or Hillary, who I think will both be pardoned and will, you know, not be allowed to run another foundation. But, you know, they both have sufficient money and wealth at this point that they're not going to need anymore to live very comfortably. And I don't think the country will be retributive in wanting to, you know, at the Trump rallies, there was lock her up was the month. The crowds would all say, lock her up, lock her up. Well, that's not going to happen. She is going to be able to retire, I think, gracefully. And I see now the Pence is coming to the podium.
Yeah, here he is. So let's go live to Fox News. Jerry, hang with us here.
I will.
And we'll go to live to Fox News. They are in New York City at the Trump headquarters. Vice President-elect Mike Pence taking the podium. Donald Trump has not come out yet.
This is a historic night. The American people have spoken, and the American people have elected their new champion. America has elected a new president, and it's almost hard for me to express the honor that I and my family feel that we will have the privilege to serve as your Vice President of the United States of America. I come to this moment deeply humbled, grateful to God for his amazing grace. Grateful to my family, my wonderful wife, Karen, our son, Michael, and his fiancée, Sarah, our daughter, Audrey, far away, and our daughter, Charlotte. I could not be here without them. And I'm I'm deeply grateful to the American people for placing their confidence in this team and giving us this opportunity to serve. And I'm mostly grateful to our president-elect, whose leadership and vision will make America great again. So let me say, it is my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to you the president-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump is now waving to his supporters at their headquarters, his family behind him, as he slowly now walks up to the podium. These are always dramatic moments. Wife Melania with him, his children. And we'll stay with him until the top of the hour, and we must take our break. Donald's walking up to the podium again. Long walk. Clapping, showing no emotion. Pretty humble. Standing there with his family now in front of his supporters. Still clapping. He's clapping. Just shook Mike Pence's hand. He's shaking Mike Pence's family's hand. Just kissed his wife on the cheek. His daughters. And here comes Donald Trump to the podium, the president-elect of the United States.
Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time for America to bind the wounds of division, have to get together. To all Republicans and Democrats and independents across this nation, I say it is time for us to come together as one united people. It's time. I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country. As I've said from the beginning, ours was not a campaign, but rather an incredible and great movement made up of millions of hardworking men and women who love their country and want a better, brighter future for themselves and for their family. It's a movement comprised of Americans from all races, religions, backgrounds, and beliefs who want and expect our government to serve the people, and serve the people it will. Working together, we will begin the urgent task of rebuilding our nation and renewing the American dream. I've spent my entire life in business looking at the untapped potential in projects and in people all over the world. That is now what I want to do for our country. Tremendous potential. I've gotten to know our country so well. Tremendous potential. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Every single American will have the opportunity to realize his or her fullest potential. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. We are going to fix our inner cities and rebuild our highways, bridges, tunnels, airports, schools, hospitals. We're going to rebuild our infrastructure, which will become, by the way, second to none. And we will put millions of our people to work as we rebuild it. We will also finally take care of our great veterans. We've been so loyal, and I've gotten to know so many over this 18-month journey. The time I've spent with them during this campaign has been among my greatest honors. Our veterans are incredible people. We will embark upon a project of national growth and renewal. I will harness the creative talents of our people, and we will call upon the best and brightest to leverage their tremendous talent for the benefit of all. It's going to happen. We have a great economic plan. We will double our growth and have the strongest economy anywhere in the world. At the same time, we will get along with all other nations willing to get along with us. We will be. We'll have great relationships. We expect to have great, great relationships. No dream is too big. No challenge is too great. Nothing we want for our future is beyond our reach. America will no longer settle for anything less than the best. We must reclaim our country's destiny and dream big and bold and daring. We have to do that. We're going to dream of things for our country and beautiful things and successful things once again. I want to tell the world community that while we will always put America's interests first, we will deal fairly with everyone, all people and all other nations. We will seek common ground, not hostility, partnership, not conflict. And now I'd like to take this moment to thank some of the people who really helped me with this, what they are calling tonight, very, very historic victory.
Well, there you have it. Donald Trump, president-elect of the United States. In a moment, we will take your phone calls with Jerry Corsi on Coast to Coast AM.